Proverbs chapter number 8. We continue our study of this book. I want to read in your hearing the first 21 verses. And again, there's a little bit of a difference. I'm reading from the New King James just to try to help me as I process. There's some language difficulties and some stuff that's just hard, and this is helpful to me. Proverbs 8, verse 1 begins with really a rhetorical question. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. From the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain or straight or straightforward, really, to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Introducing Lady Wisdom. What I would like to do this evening, and I think this is what Solomon is doing, is he is introducing, as it were, Lady Wisdom. Now, we'll break this down more in just a moment, but in the first 3 verses, Solomon is speaking about wisdom. And then in verses 4 through the remainder of the chapter, but we won't cover all of that, wisdom is speaking. Wisdom is personified and is speaking. You'll notice I said this, I hate that, I love and embrace this. Wisdom is actually, Solomon personifies wisdom like a beautiful lady. And if I may, Solomon is playing a little bit of matchmaker. Cupid, follow me for just a moment. He is introducing his son to this fine young lady. And her name is Wisdom. And he wants his son to embrace Lady Wisdom. He wants her to get to know Lady Wisdom. If you will remember, in the last chapter, we met Lady Folly, the seductress, the lady who was standing on the shady street corner, wearing almost nothing. Solomon says we were looking through the window shades of the palace, and I saw a fool, a simpleton, come by, and she called out to him, and she seduced him with her trickery and her deception and her empty promises, and he followed after her, not realizing that he was on his way to his own death, to his own destruction. And Solomon is saying, son, that girl may look good, but she will lead to misery. But can I introduce you to Lady Wisdom? She'll bless you, son. She'll be a help to you, son. Don't follow after the empty promises of Lady Folly. And again, he specifically, in the last chapter, specifically warns young men about sexual sin. But it's not limited to that. It's any temptation that exists out there that would take us away from God and lead us away from God. Don't yield to that. Don't see it. Again, wisdom is seeing things as they rightly are. Don't see. Don't think that that which God abhors is attractive. It isn't. It's ugly. It may look pretty on the outside, but it's ugly. And Solomon says, son, let me show you Lady Wisdom. She's beautiful on the outside and beautiful on the inside, and she'll bless your life. And so he is, as it were, introducing his son to this virtuous lady that he would have his son, really, he wants his son to enter into covenant relationship with Lady Wisdom. Covenant relationship with Lady Wisdom. And so, if you will, remember in the last chapter, the seductress, Lady Folly, it's hard to even call her a lady, but Lady Folly is calling out to this young man, follow me, promises joy and felicity, you know, endless gratification, you know, a night of your life. And that's all empty promises. But Solomon says, wait a minute, son. Lady Wisdom's got something to say, too. She's not silent. Lady Wisdom has a voice. In fact, you see in verse 1, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? That Jezebel floozy, can I say floozy on a Wednesday night? That Jezebel floozy standing in the dark street corner appealing men, calling for men to come in and enjoy her wares, trapping them in death. She's got a lot to say, but wait a minute. Wisdom's got something to say too. Lady Wisdom's got a voice. And she's not hiding in the red light district. If you look at verses 2 and 3, she's standing out in public before the eyes of men at the city gates where men do business, where decisions are made. Lady Wisdom is calling out, wanting you to hear her and listen to what she has to say. In fact, verse 1 really is a rhetorical question. Doesn't wisdom cry out? And here it is. There are all of these voices vying for our attention. What voice are we going to listen to? The seductress? The voice of temptation? When Satan does such a good job at making that which is foul in the sight of God look sweet, will we listen to that? Or will we hear the voice of Lady Wisdom? As she speaks, she's not ashamed. She'll stand and make her claims in the public square before men. She's not in some shady alley in the darkness of night, but in the broad daylight, she's calling out. And among all of the voices, she leads to life. Lady Wisdom leads to life, not misery, but to true delight. I want to, and I'm going to work as quickly as I possibly can through them, but I want to give you 7 attributes out of these verses of Lady Wisdom. I've broken it down. It could be done differently, but seven characteristics, seven reasons, son, why you ought to find Lady Wisdom attractive. These are seven characteristics or attributes of Lady Wisdom. Listen, Lady Wisdom loves us too much to sit silent. So she lifts her voice, stands, verse 2, on the top of the hill where the paths meet. She cries out at the city gate, at the entrance of the doors. She's calling out. And so her first characteristic, admirable characteristic, is I want you to notice Lady Wisdom's instructive call. It is a gentle, loving call. Out of verses 4 and 5, to you, O men, I call. Now, get this. You see, I call. He has now personified wisdom, portraying wisdom as a lady, as this beautiful, young, virtuous lady. And now Lady Wisdom is speaking, and she will continue to speak. And this is her instructive or meek and gentle call from verses 4 and 5. To you, men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men. She is yearning, pleading with men to listen. You simple ones, those who lack understanding, listen. Listen to what I will say. Those of you who are foolish, verse 5, have an understanding heart. In verse 6, she says, listen. I'm almost hesitant to say it because maybe you'll notice it if you haven't already. I'm prone to say, listen, when I'm preaching. That's, you know, all preachers have their little quirks, and one of mine is saying, listen. And that's because I want you to listen. Lady Wisdom and her instructive, gentle call is saying, listen. Listen, for I will speak of excellent or trustworthy things. Solomon is saying, son, you can trust what Lady Wisdom has to say. She speaks honestly. She speaks admirably. What she says is truth. I will speak, the New King James says, excellent things or trustworthy things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. I have upright things to say. Which leads, secondly, to Lady Wisdom's flawless character. Verses 7 through 9. For my mouth will speak truth. Again, I hope you're getting this. Solomon is saying, son, don't look at Delilah. It'll lead to your death. Look at Lady Wisdom. First thing is, her words are good and wholesome and helpful and true. But not only that, look at her character. Look at her life. Son, you want to know what's attractive? This is what is attractive. Verse 7, I'm going to speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my mouth. Or Lady Wisdom will not lie or mislead. Lady Wisdom abhors wickedness. Verse 8 tells us you take Lady Wisdom at her word. All of her, the words of her mouth are righteousness. There's nothing crooked or perverse in them. Lady Wisdom will not ensnare you. Again, the contrast to Lady Folly in the previous chapter. She will not misguide you. She will not mislead you. She's not trapping you. She's not out to hurt you. Lady Wisdom speaks truth to you. Her words are, verse 9, plain. That word just means right, straightforward, or correct. Son, Lady Wisdom will be honest with you. She will not lie to you. You can trust in her. You can trust in what she has to say. Or, as one commentator said, what Lady Wisdom speaks is reasonable to those who are reasonable. It makes good sense to those with good sense. In verses 10 and 11, you'll notice Lady Wisdom's infinite worth. This is her worth. Son, you want to know what's pretty? Listen to her speak. That is so attractive. See or take note of her heart or her character. It is wholesome. But not just that. Lady Wisdom's worth a lot. This woman here that I'm asking you to enter into covenant relationship with is of great value. Verse 10, receive my instruction, she says, not silver, my knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom, and that's wisdom, she is better than rubies, and all the things that one may desire cannot be compared with her. What Lady Wisdom offers is worth more than silver, gold. In fact, the language there, choice gold, means the highest value, something akin to what we've talked about that would make its way into the Holy of Holies in the temple. Worth more than rubies. What Lady Wisdom brings to the table cannot be compared with material things. Take what she offers. Receive her glorious value. Do not dismiss, reject, or turn her away. Son, embrace Lady Wisdom. Hold her tight and bring her into your bosom. And then we see what I'm calling is Lady Wisdom's righteous roommates in verse number 12. You tell this is a godly lady because of the people that's in her life, who she lives with. Verse 12, I, Wisdom, dwell with prudence. Lady Wisdom has a classy friend that she lives with, and it is prudence. Webster defines prudence as wisdom applied. That's not necessarily so helpful, but he goes on to say, caution in deliberating on the most suitable means to accomplish valuable purposes. So, Solomon is king. His son is the prince. His son will take over the kingdom. Son, you know who you need sitting beside you? Lady Wisdom. Let me tell you how she'll help you. Because she is close friends with prudence. Or she knows what it means to be able to rightly deliberate and help you make decisions, the most suitable means to accomplish valuable purposes. Or let me say it like this. One of the most blessed treasures that God could give to any man is a woman who will offer sound counsel. I'm sure that's just as true for a woman relying upon a man's sound counsel. But as a pastor, Pat hardly ever says anything one way, left, right, or the other. But when she does say something or make a recommendation, I try to listen. I try to listen because I think that's Lady Wisdom who dwells in prudence says, this would be a good idea. Maybe do this. Try this. And close of verse 12 says, and find out knowledge and discretion. I think the King James there reads witty inventions, which is a little bit odd. It's just old English, but the word means insight, discretion, or knowledge. He's not saying that Lady Wisdom can help design smartphones and refrigerators, witty inventions. That's not what he's saying. Instead, insight, knowledge, how to rightly manage the affairs of life, that is Lady Wisdom's roommates. And then Solomon says, son, let me tell you what Lady Wisdom hates. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6ly, I guess. So I guess I got 8 instead of 6. Whatever number it is. Let me tell you what Lady Wisdom hates. In verse number 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of Yahweh, the reverential awe of Yahweh God, the one true God, seeing Him as He is, recognizing Him for who He is, that's what it means by the fear of Yahweh, is to hate evil, to hate what He hates. To see Him as He is to hate what He hates. But then Lady Wisdom says, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverse mouth, I hate. Pride, which is in a sense the very first sin that ever entered into creation in the heart of Lucifer. Arrogance, the evil way, or simply wickedness. Lady Wisdom hates wrong. She doesn't lead men as Lady Folly towards temptation. She hates wrong. And that's the kind of person you want at your side. If you want to live a righteous and holy life, you want somebody beside you that hates wrong and loves what is right. And then I summarized this verses 14 through 17 as Lady Wisdom's helpfulness. A help meet that is suitable, helpful. In verses 14 through 17, counsel, sound wisdom, understanding, strength. That sounds like somebody really great to be in covenant relationship with. That has sound counsel, good wisdom, proper understanding, and strength, virtue, goodness. And then verse 15, Lady Wisdom says, by me kings reign. And rulers decree justice. That word decree. And this is one of those things that gets lost in translation. And so I'm thankful for language helps. That word decree that is there in the second half of verse 15 carries with the idea of carving out. Just like, say, Moses carved out the law on tables of stone. God did with his finger, then Moses. And the idea is that kings carve out righteous, judicious decisions. That they put in writing those things that are good and holy and just. And fair and equitable and reasonable. And wisdom enables the world leaders to do that. Whether kings or princes or noblemen or presidents or governors or mayors or city councilmen, they need wisdom to carve out well good decisions. Do we not, and I'm not trying to get a hoop and a holler, but are we not in desperate need of leadership that would carve out good decisions for a change? And so they need to embrace wisdom. Our leaders need to embrace godly wisdom that would help them, enable them to reign. And verse 16, the judges are there to make judicious, right, and truthfully God-honoring, which is equitable for humanity, decisions. And again, Solomon is speaking to the next world leader, the next king of Israel. Son, you need at your side Lady Wisdom that will help you carve out sound decisions. That same word is used just so we're not going to get into it tonight, in verse 27 and 29, where the King James says, set a compass, in verse 27, it's the same Hebrew word. And in verse 29, where it says appointed, same Hebrew word, where God carved out the dry land from the good. When God carved out planet Earth, as it were. When God carved out the planets and the stars. When God did this, He set these things rightly in order. And the same idea is here. By me, wisdom says, kings reign. Verse 15, kings reign, kings rule. By rulers decree justice. By Lady Wisdom. So this is her helpfulness. This is how she can help one rule well. Whether they're ruling their family, or their home, or their church, or their city, or their country. Verse 17, I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Lady Wisdom says, I'm here for the asking. I am willing to enter into covenant relationship with you. Embrace what I can do for you. And then the last attribute, whatever number that it is, the last attribute in verses 18 through 21 is Lady Wisdom's usefulness or benefit. Lady Wisdom's usefulness. The verse 18, riches and honor are with me. Solomon saying, son, when you marry this chick, when you enter into covenant relationship with her, you don't just get her, you get everything that comes with her. And she's loaded. She's loaded. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring riches. I love the way the New King James puts verse 18. Enduring riches and righteousness. Lasting riches and righteousness. And when you read that, don't think about buckets of gold or safe deposit boxes, whatever that word is. I don't have one, so I don't speak well about it. Safety deposit boxes full of cash. Think spiritual. Think eternal. When you talk about lasting riches, nothing on this earth is lasting. You got to think beyond this. Not Sonny, I'm not offering you material wealth. I'm offering you spiritual wealth. What she brings you will be enduring righteousness, support, help, strength. That will help you while you sit on the throne, but will help you and prepare you for eternity. My fruit, verse 19, is better than gold. That which I produce in you is better than gold, better than fine gold. My revenue, better than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Look at Lady Wisdom's profitability. The benefits that she brings to you, her usefulness, ability, competence, success. Lady Wisdom offers all of these things. In other words, embracing wisdom does nothing but bring blessing. So Solomon is calling his son, his children, into covenant relationship with wisdom. And in a sense, God is calling all of us into covenant relationship with wisdom. Solomon has detailed these amazing qualities, these character or characteristics or behaviors, and he pleads with his children and us by extension to embrace, love, value wisdom. Solomon wants his children, and all of us, as it were, to have a close, intimate relationship with wisdom. He mentions her character, her honesty, her trustworthiness, her worth, how she can be depended on, how that she is forthright or honest. He mentions what she likes and dislikes, loves and hates, her value, her benefit, her friends, those that are her ability to enrich your life. In other words, Solomon is saying, Lady Wisdom is an attractive lady. Why not embrace this beauty? But I said all that, now I'm going to flip, and you got to flip with me. But wisdom is more than an abstract idea. And Solomon portrays wisdom as a lady because the Hebrew word for wisdom is feminine. But when we look at this through New Testament eyes, we realize that what Solomon is really telling us is about the beauty of Jesus. He is Mr. Wisdom. In fact, Corinthians says he is wisdom, the very wisdom of God. Or in other words, we are being called into a covenant relationship with Jesus, with He as wisdom. We see His character, His honesty, His trustworthiness, His worth, those things that He likes and dislikes and loves and hates. We see His value, His benefit. Embracing Him does nothing but enrich life. True wisdom is not just some personified idea. True wisdom is a person, and His name is Jesus of Nazareth. And you should embrace Him. You should enter into covenant relationship with Him. You should see Him in all His beauty. You want kings to rule well, noblemen, judges, presidents, or princes. They need the wisdom of Jesus. They need Jesus to rule well. He has impeccable character. He offers a gracious call. You have wisdom? Does not wisdom cry out? Did Jesus not say, "Come unto me, come unto me"? As gentle and meek as wisdom calls, see Jesus in that. Knowledge of Him is of infinite value. She says, Lady Wisdom here in this, Solomon says, I can give you riches beyond compare. Christian, confessing Christian here tonight, listen. In Christ, don't you have enduring riches? Enduring righteous riches? Yes, you do. He, Christ, loves truth and He abhors wickedness and a lie. Jesus is the one. And I know I spent all that time talking about Lady Wisdom, but that's how Solomon portrays wisdom as this virtuous woman. But in truth, we see that he is telling us about the person Jesus. And a matter of fact, we won't get into it tonight, but the remainder of this chapter is all about the Son of God being in the presence of God prior to and with creation. So really we're learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. Covenant relationship. Being His. Belonging to Him. Covenant relationship with Him will only bless and benefit you. This world vies for our attention. Calls out and offers empty delight and joy and satisfaction. Instead, we shut all that out and we listen to the voice of King Jesus. For He will truly bring what the world cannot. Satisfaction, joy, and peace.